Morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Rockcast. This is your fifth episode of Tipsy Tuesday. It is August the 27th, and so seasons are opening up here pretty quick, and we're headed to Wyoming here the first week of September. So the 31st, we're going to take off. Right now, we're guiding antelope hunters. Last week was the opening week, and got in on a lot of stalks. The antelope season here in Nebraska is just kind of goofy this year. We've had so much rain, really, that the goats are still all spread out. Typically now is kind of when everything's starting to dry up and the goats kind of start bunching up a little bit more and a little bit easier to find, but they're still really spread out. There's a couple groups we've got that have bucks in them that are like lip curling and kind of herding the does, and then there's, you know, does off by themselves and bucks spread out by themselves. So it's kind of been an interesting season. We had two misses last week, which is just typical. The last day we tried to shoot a doe, and our hunter shot, she was at like 55 when I ranged her, and then she ended up jumping out a little bit, probably to about 60. And he shot, I saw the arrow going right at her through my binoculars, and she did the matrix move and ducked it. So, yeah, that's kind of how our, but that's typical antelope hunting. So we have another week of antelope hunters now, and, yeah, so we actually got another inch of rain last night. So, hopefully we're going to wait for it to warm up a little bit, go set hunters out in the blinds, and hopefully, we can get something coming into water, at least milling by. So that's kind of what we're doing, just patiently waiting and kind of getting everything ready for September 1st for that Wyoming opener. We got a good buck that we found, and there's we saw quite a lot of bucks in there, so we're super pumped to get in and see what we can find. So this week for the new Rockslide articles, Onyx just did a landlock report from a bunch of the western states. Basically, there's a bunch of, you know, BLM or state land that's surrounded by private land. And so the private landowners can limit the access because you can't pass through their place to get to the BLM or state land, that public ground. So that report says that 6.35 million acres of western lands are landlocked. So yeah, that's an interesting article that they did there. You can head over, I'll link in the description where that's at. And then another article that just came out is Processing Deer in Hot Weather by Ben Baker. Obviously, super good timing. It is, you know, hot weather, September, trying to take care of that meat, especially when you're a long ways back. Yeah, you don't want that meat to go bad. So there's good practices in there of things to do. So check that out. And then over on the forum, hot forum threads, you know, that landlock report is getting quite some heat. You know, a lot of conversation going on there. You can go check that out if you'd like. And then still over in the live hunt forums, I talked about this a little bit, I think last week or the week before that. The live hunt threads, basically you can jump on if you're going to have service during your hunt, you can jump on, and I think Robbie says as long as you can post like once a day and kind of keep everybody updated on what's going on, then you can have a thread that won't get bumped. It's just when you can't update it very often that they might take it down. So yeah, there's a blacktail hunt going on over there, and then an over-the-counter mule deer hunt. And that blacktail hunt started like last week, I think, and there's already like three pages of comments on it. So those get a lot of traffic and are kind of fun to follow. And then kind of another thing I haven't talked about yet. So some new products that we're trying. I just got the Nemo Longbow sleeping pad. And as soon as I got the pad in, I just weighed it on my scale, and it was 1 pound, 5 ounces. So that's correct. It doesn't give an R value for the pad. It just says negative 20 to negative 10 degrees. I'm just guessing that's going to be the low end. It's got a 3-inch loft, so I have high hopes for this sleeping pad. I'm going to use it a ton this year. It has 20D fabric on the outside, and then it also comes with a pump sack. And if you haven't used a pump sack before, instead of actually blowing the air pad up just breath by breath, you actually get this little pump sack that clips on to like the valve, the air valve, and then the top of the sack is like a in this one anyways, like a roll top, kind of open it and blow into it. They say like keep your mouth like 6 inches away from the opening and then blow into it and it'll kind of air up, and then you just fold it over like a roll top dry bag, and it will give that sack is like filled up with air, and then you just push it down, compress it, and it blows all the air into the sleeping pad. I got one of those. I mean, I filled that air pad up with like 3 of those instead of like having to do it breath by breath, which can kind of be tedious when you're at high altitudes and you have a lofty sleeping pad. So that's a really nice thing to have. And then another part of that as well is you don't get the like the moisture from your breath in the pad that could, you know, kind of take that the temperature rating down, I guess. You know, just moisture in anything isn't going to help you stay dry. So that's a good thing to look into. I know there's a lot of companies that actually make a pump sack now. So that was a really cool thing that I'm glad this one has. And then we're actually just starting a review on the MSR wind burner, the MSR reactor, and the Jetboil flash stoves. Black Ovis hooked us up with those to do kind of a trio comparison. There's just a lot of questions about, you know, the Jetboil versus MSR type thing. The wind burner and the Jetboil flash are probably a little more apples to apples comparison, but I wanted to have that reactor in there as well because, I've heard a lot of super good things about it. I haven't personally used one and we just get a lot of questions on it. So I wanted to review those three. And, so the wind burner comes in at over 1 pound. And per my kitchen scale, and it's the heaviest of the three. The reactor and the Jetboil flash are pretty dang close to the same. I think they're like 14 ounces-ish. And so they're about the same as far as the weight goes. I can already tell with the construction on the outside, the reactor seems like it's going to be more durable. And I think it definitely looks like it's going to cut wind better. So that's nice. But yeah, I have a thread going on those that there's already a lot of discussion on. And so I'm going to look into a lot of that. One of the things is people talking about Jetboil's stance on hunting. So I'm going to try to dig into that a little bit more and see if I can get them to comment on it. Then going on to news, the Fish and Wildlife Service has restored federal protection to the Yellowstone and like greater Yellowstone ecosystem grizzly bears. So, you know, all that kind of went into delisting the grizzly bears and trying to get a season going and then getting that shut down is now shut down even more because they have federal protection on them. And there was kind of some interesting things that were in that article because there were 6 lawsuits. As soon as they got delisted, there was several environmental groups and other organizations that argued the species should not be delisted. And there were 6 separate lawsuits were filed, and they were actually later combined into one and went to the U.S. District Court judge. The judge was Dana Christensen, and she restored federal protections to the greater Yellowstone ecosystem grizzly bears. So it's very unfortunate. We had some headway, and now it's kind of been shut down again, which sucks. But yeah, moving on to the hot minute. I couldn't really think of a hot minute, so I'm just going to go through my clothing system for this, first week of September deer. I'm going to use, my full system is First Light. I'm going to use the Wick hoodie. I love that thing. It's like the Wick, their Wick base layers are the lightest weight that you can get. And they have like these vents under the arms that help vent out, but it's just a, you know, it's like a crew long sleeve shirt with a hoodie on it. So it's not a quarter zip or anything like that. It just has a hood on it. It's really nice for those early season hunts. You can flip that hood over your head, like keep the sun off the back of your neck. You know, like I usually have my hair up. I mean, for girls, like if you have your hair up, like that will glisten in the sun, especially if it's kind of lighter colored, and it'll glisten in the sun. And I mean, that could just be more movement for something to catch. So on a stalk, I'll flip my hoodie up or I'll flip that hood up and, it'll kind of keep my hair in check, I guess. And then, the Klamath fleece hoodie, I'll have that. And then this is going to be not quite a backpack hunt. This is going to be like a base camp Since I'm a non-resident of Wyoming now, I can't go into the wilderness, so really no need to backpack in. So I might do like an overnighter if we find some deer and I just want to get closer for the morning. Might do that, but so just because it's kind of a closer, like a base camp hunt, I'm going to be taking the Catalyst soft shell jacket as well. I love that jacket. It's really not like any soft shell I've tried. It's thinner and it's super quiet, and yeah, it could almost replace like a Klamath, like the fleece hoodies or the Klamath fleece pullovers. If you don't like a pullover, that Catalyst would be another good option for that. And then the Brooks Down sweater puffy, taking that as well. And then I'll take my Alturist guide pant for sure, but I'll also bring a pair of the Obsidian pants just because, I mean, we don't have to worry about weight like at all. And the Vapor Stormlight jacket, that's a really lightweight packable rain jacket. That'll be in my pack. That thing's in my pack all the time unless there's going to be a ton of rain. And then so the Seek jacket and pants, we'll take those as well. And then I'm going to wear the Crispy Colorado boot, wear the Mountain Athlete compression sock. And then I'll take a beanie, just the lightweight merino beanie for sure. Just wear a ball cap. And then I'll have the Catalyst gloves with me and then the Guide Light glove. I like having a couple different gloves in there. The Catalysts are definitely heavier and will keep keep my hands warmer in the mornings. And then the Guide Light's more like for if you're in a like hiking or you're kind of in some rough terrain and you need to like, you know, grab rock or whatever, it'll kind of protect your hands. So that's kind of what I'm wearing for this opening week. And my system really doesn't change that much. The puffies will change, and the pants might change, but that's about it. So, yeah, everybody have a great Tuesday. Good luck to everybody heading out on hunts. Don't forget to tag us in your trophy pictures. Yeah, and keep checking back for more episodes. This week will be the last week that we run two episodes side by side. So this week we're actually going to have, we're going to talk clothing with Tony Treach here on Thursday. And then on Saturday we're going to talk first aid with Travis Bertrand. And then that's going to roll us on into September. And we're going to roll back to one episode a week plus these Tipsy Tuesdays. And yeah, that's what's going to happen. So hit the subscribe button. We have some good podcasts coming to you soon. And yeah, we'll see you guys later.